steps in the right direction, meeting people where they are. Just come and follow me, he says. You see, the crucial moments in which we choose directions for our lives aren't usually marked with caution signs, bright red flags, or even the feeling that we are about to make a big decision. Some of the decisions that matter most slip by without our even noticing it. Some of the choices that seem small are bigger than the ones that appear big. Because the sacred is present in the ordinary. We can't be sure that any decision is unimportant. Because life is holy. Every moment matters. Every day and hour is crucial. Everything that we do is crucial. You see, Jesus is walking beside a lake one afternoon when he sees two men in a rowboat waiting for unsuspecting fish to wander into their nets. And it's hard to believe what happens next. Jesus offers them a job without no pay, and they accept. Follow me, he says, and I will make you fish for people. Why follow someone they did not know? And what was so appealing about Jesus' words? Come, follow me. Had the sales pitch been, come and make more money than you could ever make fishing, then it might make a little bit more sense. But this invitation and response seems unlikely. Four fishermen that day drop what they are doing and they head off to God knows where, to live a life that no one can imagine. People always try to explain away big fish stories. Have you ever talked to someone who's gone fishing and they tell you about the one that got away or the one that was almost or whatever? And this story here today is no exception. Some commentators of different commentaries will tell you that these young men often left their occupation to become students of a rabbi during that time. They say it sounds more unlikely to us that it would have to people in the first century. We wouldn't think about people even, but back then they'd say, oh, people went to take off and went and lived with the rabbi and learned, and they'd leave everything behind. But here we read the story, and we assume that this is the disciples' first encounter with Jesus. Surely, we think that they knew Jesus before this, but Mark's gospel doesn't seem to feel any need to explain why they would just drop everything and follow him. It's right at the beginning. It's the first few verses. It says, nothing of the sort. It says, come follow me. The disciples' instant acceptance of Jesus' peculiar invitation is as dramatic as any moment we will ever encounter. On occasion, you and I face big decisions about our family, about our jobs, and about our faith. We stand sometimes at a fork in the road, and we have to make a choice. We have to choose. We have moments when we feel that we have to act in a particular way for reasons that we cannot completely explain. We feel the need sometimes to sacrifice, sometimes to give up, something we would rather keep in order to follow. We've taken a few big risks in our lives, but most of the time it isn't that dramatic. We don't drop everything to start a new life very often in our world. Some people do, but most people don't. The calling of the disciples is more spectacular than what happens to you and I in most of our days. Most of my life is somewhat routine. I usually begin each day with a cup of coffee, Bible reading and study. I always have things to do. I'm either at the office at church or at home. There are calls to return and make, emails to respond to, and meetings to attend. There are Bible studies to prepare for and lead, as well as sermons to think about and to write. There are people to visit and check on at home, nursing home, and hospital. Sometimes calls, sometimes cards, sometimes visits. There are a dozen administrative details to take care of for church and conference. There's a lot of things for conference you don't know about. You don't need to know. The urgency is what I do. The urgency in what I do is usually the urgency of keeping up, not trying to get too far behind. Most of it does that some days feel too holy. My day is usually filled with pleasant people. Occasionally I run into a few cranky folks. And occasionally I might be cranky myself. I receive too much credit some days for what I do, and at others, not so much. My work is enjoyable. Sometimes it's sad. Sometimes it's difficult. And it's not all that spectacular some days. My life doesn't feel as adventurous as that of the disciples, leaving their nets and following Jesus into the unknown. But years ago, when I finally answered God's call into the ministry, I made a huge leap of faith. I sold or gave up the majority of my belongings. I gave a lot of them away. I downsized tremendously. I quit my job. I loaded my car and I moved to Kentucky to begin seminary. I didn't have a job or a source of income when I left North Carolina. All I knew is that I was accepted to go to school at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in the fall of 1991 to begin my Master's of Divinity in Pastoral Care. Now, God did provide for me, and I worked very hard to achieve my goal. I had more jobs than you could shake a stick at. I mean, I had all kinds of jobs. But God provided along the way. And it was a huge change in my life. These days, it seems like we answer God's invitation from within the situation in which we find ourselves. Instead of thinking about what God wants us to do, He wants us to make maybe a big decision sometimes. And He did that earlier in my life, to come and be prepared to do what He's called me to do today. You see, maybe Jesus' disciples had days when their lives did not seem so sensational. As they walked up and down Galilee from village to village through Samaria to Jerusalem and back again, maybe they had days when they thought things were going just a bit slow. On these days, perhaps their faithfulness was more modest. Maybe they said, you know, what's going on here? You know, there's not a lot happening. We tend to forget, though, the importance of details in the journey of faith. You know, everything is not a mountaintop experience. You see, we focus, though, on dramatic conversions. Boy, we like to have those when people just, you know, fall over and run around and jump up and down and completely go from one thing to the other. Boy, that's something that we can just say, wow, look at that. Overwhelming encounters with God and powerful moments of prayer. Now, those things are great. They get our attention. They shake us up. We search those peak experiences and we end up assuming that some people are born with a spiritual talent that we just don't have. Sometimes it's almost, people will say, when I ask them about their experience, about when they felt like they knew that they knew the Lord, when it happened to them, and some of them can tell you that moment when it happened. They can tell you all about it and how it affected their life. That was it. It was a changing point when something turned and they begin to live their life and they begin to change. Others, it was something that just kind of seemed to happen. It just gradually they grew and they grew stronger and stronger. And they can't tell you exactly when it happened. John Wesley himself had studied and lived and learned and preached and taught for years, and he went to a meeting at Aldersgate to hear somebody, and his journals read and everything, he says, who was not even an ordained minister, just some layperson up there speaking. And something happened to John Wesley that night. The story says his heart was strangely warmed. Something happened to him. He changed. That's when his conversion, his ministry changed, his writing changed. He began to be more on fire for what God had done in his life. But he had, to that point, he had been living and preaching and teaching because that's what he knew. That's what he had been brought up to, and that's what he felt God calling him to do. But he needed that spark. He needed just a little something to give him that push. You see, God is in the details, people. God calls us every hour of every day. God calls us first thing every morning. God invites us to be friends, to practice kindness and pray for our daily bread. We live out our faith in worship, in work, and study. You know, we have to be diligent. We have to be faithful to worship, work, and study. We've got to do these things. We've got to pray. We've got to come and be a part of something. We got to study. We got to be a part of it. If we're not, we're just here. The routine everyday ways in which we follow Jesus, the way we read Scripture, the way we welcome strangers, the way we love the people with whom we live, are all crucially important. The people that you live with in your household, that you're a part of in your church family and community, oh, it makes a big difference. It's very important. The difference between the saints of the church and most of us is not some spiritual talent that we don't possess, but the way the saints express everyday habits, disciplines, and practices have prepared them to live extraordinary lives. Some of you all are saints of the church. The saints that we celebrate that have gone on are those who've passed away, but the saints that are living now, what are you doing? It's very important how you live your extraordinary life. God is at work in a variety of unspectacular ways. God is present in every way that grace is shared. Hope is proclaimed and healing comes. Love spreads word by word. The bucket fills drop by drop, and the wrongs are righted one by one. We have to do these things little by little. It is something that we do, that we have to be consistent with, that we just can't stop. Our calling is to be faithful to live God's grace on routine days in ordinary ways. Yes, sometimes it might be boring. Have I got to do that? I don't feel like doing it. I'm tired. I'm bored. If we pay attention, then we will see that even as unsurprising a life as most of us think we live, that it is extraordinary. Most of you do live extraordinary lives. You do a lot of great things. Taking a child to school, that's an extraordinary thing. If you've ever been in a line waiting to take a young'un to school, that's an extraordinary thing. Hugging someone you love goodbye. Knowing that maybe that's the last time you're going to be able to hug them. Hug them goodbye. Hug them hello. Eating lunch with a friend. Trying to do a decent day's work. Just talking to your neighbor. Finding out what's going on in their life. Coming to church. Coming to Sunday school. Coming to Bible study. Coming to youth. Coming to worship. Being a part of a family. Coming to family night, fellowship night. There is no event so commonplace that God is not there. Every moment and every word have possibilities. You see, slowly and surely, though, our priorities change in our life. They change from day to day, from year to year. On the day they first followed Jesus, the disciples were brash, impulsive, stubborn, and they smelled like fish. They stunk. They had to learn day by day how to be the church. It wasn't something that they just knew. Something they had to work at. Something they had to learn. It's something they had to be taught. We have to learn day by day to be the church. It's our job. We grow in our faith not only in memorable, never-to-be-forgotten moments, but also in forgettable moments when we decide to pray instead of turning on the radio, to do better with the next hour than we do with the last hour, and to give something that we would rather keep. Think about that. To give something that we would rather keep. To think about someone else before ourselves. We become faithful As we confess a misspent hour, an unnecessary word, or a wasted opportunity. We all waste opportunities every day. We start to follow again and again and again. We have to do it over and over. In every moment, God offers us another opportunity yet again to take a step in the direction to Christ, to meet people where they are, to begin anew, to live with a purpose, to live with a hope, and to live with love. Jesus said, "Come, follow me." Let us pray.